Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Craft of the Draft podcast. Another really big week of representative footy. A bit of talent league we'll touch on in the end. But I'm one of your co-hosts, Nathan Seppi, as always joined by my other co-host, Jonty Ralph-Smith. Jonty, really big week. How was your week of football? What'd you take out of that week?
Yeah, no, it was good to see. It was good to sort of see where some teams are at, gauge the temperature of them against each other. Obviously, we saw the Allies smash Vic Metro in the first quarter, but then the game sort of evened out after that. So we had that game, we had the Allies versus Vic Metro and the girls, and we had Vic Country narrowly defeat WA on Friday night. We also had a lot of talent league footy, which gave the opportunity for some players who might have just missed the Country and Metro squads or the 17-year-olds to really stand up and show their wares. So I thought it was a good weekend of footy for a few different reasons.
Yeah, for sure. And we're going to go through all those games you've talked about. We'll just quickly run through our order in case you want to skip through and listen to certain parts. But we'll start with Vic Country and WA for the boys, Metro and Allies boys next, and then the Metro Allies girls, and then the Round 12 Talent League recap. So that will be the order we're going through. But let's go back all the way to Friday night where Vic Country got up by 2 points. It was an interesting game where it felt like Country were probably on top for the first and fourth quarters, and then WA pretty much held the dominance for those middle two quarters. We haven't talked about this much both together, so this is both our sort of raw thoughts, I guess, on it. But what's your perspective on that game, how Country performed, and the general outcome of it? Country, get a win now, so they're on the board and give themselves a very slim possibility.
Probably mirrors what you thought. Probably WA could have had a bit more scoreboard ascendancy through the middle. But at the same time, there's also the argument to say that when Vic Country are at their best, you could say that they probably should have gotten away from WA more than they did. So it was a little bit of an arm wrestle. But yeah, no, it was a good one to watch. I thought the midfield of Vic Country was also very interesting, a little slightly different to what we saw at Icon Park. Obviously, Cooper Simpson's absence, the main one, but some others as well going through there and getting opportunity. I was intrigued to see that. And I'll be intrigued to see the Vic Country midfield going forward as well. It's obviously always interesting to see who they do give those opportunities to, because that, gives a good indication of the prospects that are really highly regarded. But yeah, no, I suppose if you move on from an individual perspective, I thought Cade Delarue was one who really boosted his draft stocks. So obviously we know he plays that high half forward role so well from a Dandenong perspective. Won a lot of the footy and showed his ability to sort of stand up in tackles and was just a prominent ball winner. And he's done that at Dandenong as well. He's consistent throughout the whole game, and I think he was able to show that against better opposition on Friday night as well.
Yeah, well, he was probably my best on ground. It probably wasn't across four quarters, but in terms of the player that did everything he could have as best as he could and made the most impact per possession, I'd probably say Cade Delarue. Like you said, his power out of the stoppage was really noticeable. Even sort of burst through the middle at times, and there were some really nice entry kicks inside 50 that, I can't remember which forward they were to, but they were hit up really nicely. It was just really composed with ball in hand, was using it nicely with his hands, I thought. I think he used it more with his hands than he did with his feet, but he just used it really well. And, I thought his game was as best as it could be. Could be his best game of the season, arguably, in terms of if you look at Talent League as well. That was a really impressive standout performance. He was probably the main one for me as well. I'll move to a forward, Michael Rudd. Yep. He was fantastic. And he's done that two games in a row now for Country. He kicked three in the end. So he was really, really impressive. Just really strong overhead. And that was very evident again that when the ball goes in, you can rely on him to take a mark. And he's a reliable set shot as well. He was kicking them and don't think he had. I think he missed, or if he did, he was definitely above 50% for his scoring shots. So he was another one that was fantastic. Oh, I'll throw back to you. It was another one that was standing out for you.
Yeah, and I'll stick on the forwards theme with a couple. Archer Reid, he's still sort of a bits and moments sort of player, and we'd love to see him do it for a full game. And he did that, I think, for Gippsland, and he kicked four goals last week, but it'd be good to see him do it at some stage in his championships. But kicking that first goal, I thought, showed his mobility and showed something a little bit different in his skill set. And then he was able to hit up a few forwards coming at the ball as well throughout the game. So, it was good to see him show glimpses. Would be nice to see him put put it together for a full game. And Lachie Charlson, we know how much energy he provides inside 50. I think he showed traits again on Friday night. So, yeah, those two forwards as well.
Well, with Charlson, I thought he was his pressure as well was something that's been standing out. I think when he's not getting a lot of the football, that's the trait that probably helps him get himself into the game. And even late, he had two really nice kicks to Harley Reid in the pocket. Those two have a little bit of a connection in terms of the way they move the football forward. But he did it really late as well. And someone who stood up late, that didn't do a lot in the first three quarters, but I know you love talking about him as a player, Billy Wilson, the match-winning moment per se. Yeah, it was the really nice angled kick inside, and I can't remember who kicked that goal, but put them up by eight, and it wasn't game over, but it was certainly just gave him some breathing space with the time that was left. What was your thoughts on his game? It was a bit quieter, but I guess those moments late show what he's capable of.
So it's glimpses of acceleration that he seems to always show. Yeah, and he has put it together for a full game for Dandenong. I do think he will at some point for Vic Country, but Friday night wasn't the time. But yeah, I spoke to someone who compared that pass to having traces of what Hayden Young did, the Fremantle defender in the 2019 National Championships. Mm-hmm. So yeah, he's certainly got those likeable traits coming off halfback. Angus Hastie, another one that won a lot of the footy and impressed me, obviously, from Geelong. Sort of had to play that real lockdown key defender sort of role in the first game to some degree, with Vic Country being a little bit starved of height, had a little bit more freedom on Friday night. And I thought Lamont Lowell was one who bounced back from a very quiet first game and showed a little bit more, gave him something to build on for the rest of the championships and the rest of the season, showed his skill set more holistically on Friday night.
Yeah, no, he definitely did. It was definitely an improvement from the first game. It's just his polish. That's probably the next step in his game, because he was getting a lot of the right spots and making some good runs, but it was just that last kick or that last handball that was often 50-50 with his disposal. That's probably stopping him from really working himself up in the draft ranks. That's probably the next step for him. I'll touch on two Stingrays that we thought had like relatively good games and had their moments, were Di Mattea and Kobe Shipp, who had their moments off half back, really good bursts at times. Shame they didn't really get to show a lot of what they were capable of. Was it Di Mattea got moved into the midfield at times, into that midfield group that was roving around, but neither really got to show as much as probably what we wanted to see. What was your analysis? Because they were good games, but they just didn't get their hands on the footy as much as they probably would have liked.
Harry Di Mattea was one who, when he was in the midfield, he's in the midfield for large parts of the game. And yeah, I thought he was a little bit neater than what he was in the first game in terms of his execution by foot. We saw in the first game his burst from stoppage, and he was able to get a few of those really nice centre clearances inside 50 kicks. Unfortunately, turned it over. He's a little bit better on Friday night. And he also had that moment, you mentioned that he spent some time off halfback. He had that moment late where he spoiled, and that was a really important play in saving, I guess you could say, the game, saving the opposition from having one last opportunity to overcome Vic Country. So, yeah, liked his game. Kobe Shipp was solid. Obviously, the first game really raised his stocks. It probably wasn't as good as that one. But, yeah, no, certainly he's keeping his name there or thereabouts in draft discussions.
Probably the last thing to touch on with this that I thought would just be nice to bring up in terms of the bottom ages who had a run out there. I mean, add if I'm wrong, but Archer Day Wicks, Sam Lawler. But Sam Lawler was actually pretty impressive at times. Like, he had his moments. It was a good. Did he play in that first game?
No.
So this is his first one, and yeah, I thought he was really good. He was really good. Like, with his vision inside to find that kick was really good, and just clean hands out of the stoppage. Archer Day Wicks got on the scoreboard as well. So he's a really promising prospect. He's a Bendigo boy. And also, we saw Lachie Smith in the ruck this week, and I thought he was really, it was a really good game. I thought his first half was really good. The energy he brought around the stoppages was like something I noticed. Like, you notice with rucks, they can take a bit longer to get themselves into it, but he was really energetic. I know you really like him as a ruck at Gippsland. What was your sort of perspective on his game?
Yeah, no, really impressive. Yeah, obviously coming up against stiff opposition as well. He had his moments, probably using his size as that next step. Like, he's a really big person. Like, I know having watched him up close a couple of times, you get a sense for how big and imposing he is for an under-18s, under-19s sort of competition. So, yeah, if he could just use that a little bit more like some of his opposite numbers do. But, yeah, no, there's certainly moments. And I guess what's been really impressive from his perspective is that he averages, I think, 15 hitouts in the talent league. Yeah. And he does have to share the ruck duties with Will Dawson, who we know is in Vic Country as well. So you've got the two best rucks playing for the same talent league team, and Lockie Smith is still averaging 15 hitouts. Probably tells you his ascendancy over much of the rest of the competition, and he's able to clunk a few marks and he's adding different strings to his bow. But yeah, no, it was pleasing to see him get a run around on Friday night. I think moving on to the Vic Metro versus Allies boys, it was obviously an Allies domination up until quarter time, and it probably felt like they were on top thereafter, but they weren't able to put it on the scoreboard quite as much. Obviously, they got the win, and yeah, there were quite a few that stood up. We know that Colby McKercher and Riley Sanders are touted as two of the more highly regarded, you know, midfielders in this draft crop. They were again strong, but in terms of some under the radar prospects, I suppose if we do start with the Allies boys, I thought Jack Callanan was really good. We know he had that quiet first game, had moments in the second game, and again he had his glimpses where he was able to take some nice marks, and some of his field kicking was really good, and he's just a real live wire inside 50s, that small forward. So yeah, he was one that really impressed me, along with Heath Ollington in for his first game of the national championships. He's 190 centimetres. He took some really nice overhead marks and was a really important figure inside 50. And Ari Schoenmaker, obviously, we know he plays halfback for the Tasmania Devils, was able to kick a couple of goals. He's got that booming left foot and he was able to show that off. I think he kicked two goals, one. That one point that he kicked was from about 10 metres. I don't know how he missed it, but it was a good showing for those two boys in their first game of the national championships. A quick overview on what you thought of the Allies.
Yeah, I actually mirror all your thoughts. All those three players you just said were my top three for the Allies in the end. Ollington, he actually kicked a really good check side goal from the boundary.
That was
it was really, really fantastic. Callanan was probably my best for Allies in terms of the impact he made and just in terms of under the radar players. Really strong hands, really nice kicking inside 50s. Offensive pressure was something I noticed. That's just something I like watching, is forwards that put that pressure on, and he did that really well. And then he kicked a really nice goal, really good pickup and goal on the run from 25 metres out. So he was fantastic. And then Schoenmaker, yeah, those two goals, they were massive. They were both from about 50 metres out. So he's a very big unit. So I'd agree with everything you have to say. I'll move on with Metro, and I'll bring up two defenders first. Christian Mardini and Ollie Murphy. Mardini's a Northern Knights boy. Ollie Murphy's a Sandy Dragon. Mardini was the first time we've got to see him in Vic Metro colours. So it was. I thought he played pretty well, considering the role he had to play. It was a tough day if you were a defender for Metro. I mean, Jed Walter, my God, that he's a prospect and a half. Like, in terms of brute strength, how do you defend that? He didn't have the job on Walter. Ollie Murphy did, but Mardini, his just defensive positioning was really good, because he didn't allow the forwards to get out the back. Took some good marks. It was his body work that stood out for me. And then with Ollie Murphy, as much as Walter did have quite a dominant first quarter where it just felt like everything he touched was turning into a scoring shot, I thought he did work his way back into the game really well. His defensive positioning did improve. He got ahead of the play a bit and realised where the ball was going to come, took some really good contested marks, and his intercept defending was really good. He was able to spoil a couple, and he did take some good marks down back, so those were two that I thought were good defensively. What was your opinion of their games?
Yeah, I'll quickly give my opinion. I thought, Christian Mardini, he's one-on-one. He won a couple of really nice duels, which I thought were impressive. More than a couple, probably three or four. So, yeah, it was a really impressive performance. I was to some degree surprised he was selected in the squad, but I think he's certainly justified that. He missed the first game. He was expected to play the first game, but I think there was illness that caused him to miss. And yeah, Ollie Murphy, I guess the thing with Ollie Murphy was, yeah, like you said, he did get soundly beaten in the first quarter and it would have been a baptism of fire for him. But from a mentality point of view, the confidence to be able to stay in the contest. And then, yeah, like you said, there were times where he did back himself to take that intercept mark and read the flight of the ball, play to his strengths rather than get drawn into what Jed Walter likes to do, which is likes to body his opponent, use his brute strength. And then, you know, if you get one-on-one with Jed Walter, most of the time, if you're the same age as him, you're going to lose because of how strong he is. So, yeah, his ability to read the ball, I thought Ollie Murphy deserves to be commended, particularly once he was able to stand up and stay in the contest after quarter time. From a midfield perspective, I probably really liked Mahmoud Taha. I thought he had some really nice moments. And yeah, I know we're both a fan of him. He stood up in the first game. He brought a lot of pressure and we know what he does with his inside grunt work. Thought he showed that again. And I know you're a fan of Kynan Brown's game from an Oakley perspective. And yeah, I think there was reason to say that he at least maintained, if not boosted, his draft stocks on the day.
Yeah, well, he, I think he got tackled and run down for holding the ball in like the first 5 minutes. And, you know, that can always set someone off in terms of how they perform for the rest of the day. But after that moment, I thought did some really nice things. It wasn't best on ground by any means, but in terms of just the play, I thought used the ball really now really well after that point. Really good vision moving inside 50 and helped Metro use the corridor a bit more. They were struggling to really utilise that and move forward. And that's why Allies just killed them at times. Also kicked a really good goal on the run from about 50 metres out. I guess midfield-wise, it was tough. And I agree with Mudi Taha and your analysis on him. I liked his game. I thought he was pretty energetic, and that's something he always brings to a midfield group wherever he's playing at. I guess another good one, but it's not really under the radar, was Nate Caddy. I thought he did some nice things, did some good things when he could, and he was taking contested marks like he needed to. He kicked really good check side from the pocket under quite a bit of pressure. I think it was in the second quarter. And then just really good quick hands for a tall as well. But
Will Elliott, another an Oakley Chargers player, a key forward who got overlooked in the draft last year after injury interrupted year. He was captain of the Chargers in 2022. He kicked a couple of goals and, yeah, showed a nice skill set up front his first game of the championships.
Yeah, he did. He got on the scoreboard twice from memory. He kicked two. Yep. So it was a good game from him. He needs, I mean, I guess when you're a 19-year-old, you just got to keep performing consistently and show your traits, and he's been doing that. I thought Nathan Flacktides was pretty good. Like, I feel like he's one that went a bit unnoticed. Not that he didn't have a bad game, but I thought he used it really well. He's really composed, moving the ball sort of down the wing a lot. Thought Cam Nyko got into it a bit more in the second half, but he's sort of struggled a bit in the first two games to really get his hands on it, I feel like there's a lot more we can see with Cam Nyko. Levi Ashcroft, we know his potential. I'm pretty sure he was training with Brisbane this week as well. I saw on Brisbane Sins, so Will and Levi. That's exciting if you're a Brisbane fan, but if you're a fan of anyone else, I don't see why that's any good to know those two will be playing soon. They just keep getting good players, Brisbane. Tom Gross, he was in.
Major. Yeah, no, it was good to see him have a run around. We know that Oakley have got their big three bottom ages, and Vic Metro are so loaded with bottom ages. He unfortunately missed out in the first game. But yeah, no, he certainly showed that he's got a lot of upside to give, and he's been really good in the first part of the talent league season. So yeah, he certainly deserves the opportunity. We know how good he was in the under-16s. Carnival last year as well. What last player that I'd like to touch on would probably be Will Green, the ruck. He competed well. I thought he won 30 hitouts against the Allies. So, yeah, I thought he obviously shared the role with Vigo Vicentini in the first game and was quite strong. But I thought he went to another level as that main man on the weekend. And yeah, he ran someone down. If I could remember who it would be ideal. I should have noted it down, but he did get a massive tackle holding the ball. And yeah, that was really impressive. So he should have shown it a couple of different strings to his bow and raised his draft stocks as probably the best Victorian based ruck in this draft crop, I would say, pretty comfortably.
Yeah, I'd agree. He's so versatile, even up forward. He's a very hard player to stop. So I I'd have to agree. And he's just very talented, very agile for ruck. If you can get a ruck that's that agile, you've hit the jackpot in that sense. Well, unless you've got any more on that, I feel like that wraps that up. Metro play WA on Sunday. Yeah. So all Allies have to do is win, don't they? And they've wrapped it up. Yeah. This is their last game. So all they have to do is win. Even if they lose, Metro would have to win by like heaps to make up that goal difference, gap. I guess, percentage gap. So really Allies to lose at this point. But we move now to Vic Metro and Allies with the girls. The Metro girls got up in that one by, was it 19 points, something around that. But it was a good display. For a first game where you could tell there was at times there was a bit of lack of like connectivity just because they probably haven't played a lot together, but they strung together a pretty good game in the end. Very competitive Allies side. I didn't honestly expect that Allies side to be that good because I think the girls have split it.
Yeah, they have.
There's a Queensland. So
yeah, there is, yeah.
I don't think any of those Brisbane Gold Coast Academy girls were in Allies. So it was
And we know how strong those girls are. So yeah, it does weaken the Allies, but they're still really strong. Clearly the strongest performance was Emma McDonald kicking 5 goals, 1 goal in every quarter. She really made a statement. We have seen her do it at Talent League level, week in and week out, anything that comes her way. She marks it. She's a very accurate set shot. She was able to do it again on the weekend. You just deliver it inside 50 and there she was. It sort of felt like time and time again.
Yeah, it's an interesting play to watch because she doesn't look like she has such a command in that forward line. Like she's tall, but like she's not massive at the same time. Yeah. And she gets her hands on everything. Even I think like her kicking technique isn't even probably the best it could be, but it always goes in. Like I feel like there's still so much to work with her, and she still does it really well at the moment. Yeah, easily the best on ground for me. 5 goals in your first Metro game as a bottom major is. I'm surprised she's not getting as much attention, like in terms of socials wise, by the AFL women's page and all that, because that's quite ridiculous. I'll move on another forward. Ava Jordan, she played a pretty good game in the Academy Under 23 All-Stars game. So definitely backing that up. She was really good with her hands, really a lot of energy around the ball. She always brings that something that is a trademark of her game and was really just rewarded for her effort, I think, in the end. That was she did the right thing. She got a goal, really good offensive pressure. And then, again, she roved really well for a second goal. So in terms of a player that did all the right things, might not have got her hands on the ball every single time, but when she did, she was rewarded for it. So she was really terrific, and I know she was one of the best for you as well.
Yeah, she was. Alicia Pisano, another one in that forward line who stood up. She never, not I shouldn't say she never, but she didn't on this occasion get the 15 to 20 touches that we've seen that she's capable of. But yeah, when she does get her hands on the ball, she looks like she's gonna generate a scoring opportunity, whether that's scoring a goal herself or whether that's passing off to a teammate in a better position. I think it was in the first quarter, it was towards the start of the game where it was the clean pickup and the snap around the body and it went through. We see so many players do that sort of thing in the female and male game where they're able to do that perfect play, then they're not quite able to execute and they get themselves in a really good position. She's always able to finish it off. So impressive game from her. Gemma Ragone's speed through the middle and down the wing to get it going forward. I remember seeing it out at Avalon Airport Oval about 3 weeks ago in the Vic Metro trial games. That was what really catches everyone's eye, I think, when it comes to her. She was, again, able to show it, so she just backed herself despite the level being a little bit higher. So I really liked her game. And Laura Stone, I know, was one that was in your best and Eastern Rangers prospect sort of halfback.
Yeah, well, she was just really composed, exiting defensive 50, and she was taking good intercept marks. And I thought her just a delivery of the ball down the line, and even she would move it into the middle at times, is really classy. She's one that your transition starts with a player like her. She knows how to move it forward in the most effective way. So she was really impressive. One that I thought deserves a really good mention that had a poor start, but I thought she just kept improving as the game went on, with Isabel Bacon, Sandy Dragon, really aggressive in the middle, and she took the game on. Her disposal was pretty poor at the start, and that's what led her down. And, you know, all those moments where she did the right thing, they sort of, you know, get forgotten, because if you give the ball up and turn it over. You're not going to be remembered for that sort of stuff. But she changed her game up, took some really good intercept marks, really good defensive intercept punch, I remember, and then really good composure through the middle to move it well, good kicking, good, and used it well with hands. And I thought her game changed and really helped her stand out, especially as the game went on. So she was, yeah, she was, and that was really impressive for me.
Yeah, no, I think that's a fair appraisal. Kaylee Kavanagh, probably for me, also was probably in the three or four best. 11 clearances is a massive effort, and we know she does it week in, week out for Calder. She's just got a really well-rounded game, and her ability to feed out or get out of stoppage is really impressive. She gets out the front of stoppage quite often as well, which gives her team that immediate advantage. So we can see players like to sort of run backwards away from the traffic and then sort of curl the way around, but she just backs her strength. So really good outing from Kavanagh. And I think Sarah Pousty and Tamara Henry, a couple of others that deserve mention. Pousty and Oakley Charger started the season really well, and Tamara Henry coming in off some really good form, particularly in the last couple of weeks for the Western Jets. So move on to the Allies.
I'll give one more for Metro. Really sort of one more, Hayley McLaughlin. I thought she was really good, one that just keeps improving. Well, she's very consistent. It's a really good clean hands, really good tackling pressure that was on display. I think in the middle of the game, she really showed that. And then really good inside 50 entry kicks. Jasmine Shepherd, I thought, had her moments, but it was a kicking that let her down. I thought she did the right things. But I think that was with a few girls, actually, where they were doing a lot of the right things, but it was their disposal that let them down. So that was probably my main takeaway from the Metro girls side of it.
Yeah, the polish side of things, yeah, probably overall could have improved. I think one who did have polish, though, for the Allies was Mackenzie Ford, by and large. Her delivery inside 50 I really liked, and I thought, yeah, her, when she got some time in the midfield like she has for Tasmania, she really shone. Probably isn't one I expected to be talking about as being one of the Allies' better performers, but I certainly think she raised her stocks in this first game.
Yeah, for sure. She was just really classy with her ball use, and that transition inside 50 was just really strong for, and they converted Allies as well. I think they were 8-3 in the end, so they were efficient every time they went in. And then probably Candice Belbin's probably the last one to talk about.
Yeah, we know you know what you're going to get from her. She cracks in every week. She goes after the hard ball, and her ground ball gets her always really strong. I thought that mirrored her start to the season as well for Tassie. So, yeah, that wraps up the Vic Metro versus Allies girls game. We'll move to the Talent League boys and girls reviews now. Nathan, I know you saw a little bit of this game, the Tassie versus Northern game, Northern getting up 10-4-64 to 9-15-69 with a dramatic finish.
It was extremely dramatic. Well, whilst we were at Sandy and Calder, I thought, I always try to check the scores of other games when we're at something and just, see what's going on. And so 64-63, there was 26 minutes gone on the scoreboard on the stream, which I don't know how right that was, because sometimes they're not in sync. So I'd assumed a player had got injured, there'd be seconds left. Northern player had a kick from about 50, was punched on the line by a Sandy. I was sort of just before the line by a Tassie defender. And then Daniel Wells-esque karate kick out of midair. It was mental. And then the siren went as the ball went back to the middle. So it was dramatic, as probably one of the most dramatic ends. The only moment I can remember that was probably more dramatic was, I think, last year when Harley Reid got the free kick after the siren to get a kick right in front of goal. So
yeah,
that was that probably is, I'd say that beats it. It was a fantastic game in terms of the finish. So yeah, Northern move, if I'm not mistaken, they moved to second now, and Tassie are two games ahead on first. Yeah. So they're technically really first when you look at wins on average. So, Northern, they're flexing their muscles. So it was insane. But Sandy Calder, we were at this one.
Yeah.
Sandy got up 14-7-91 to 11-5-71, and Calder up by 28 points in the third quarter. So it was a really, from that point onwards, it was 56-8, something along those lines, if my math's correct. So who were your standouts from both sides?
Yeah, look, I really enjoyed seeing Hugo Garcia get midfield minutes with the likes of Mudi Taha away on Metro duty. We know that we know that Ryan Penny didn't play either. He played for Collingwood VFL, made his debut, so congratulations to him. But yeah, Hugo Garcia showing that he's able to win the hardball and also had moments where he showed that explosiveness and ability to break tackles, which I've seen when you watch him off half forward. So 27 touches for him, and he was probably their best on ground when they had it going their way in that first half, first part of the third quarter as well. And Jaden Wynn, I really liked. He had that really impressive goal in the first quarter where it's a clean gather from about 50 metres out, shrugged off three or four tacklers and then snapped it from 30, the perfect finish. And yeah, he played under 16s Vic Metro last year. And yeah, Sean, I think. And yeah, his pressure and what he brings on the wing is really impressive. And I thought he took another step. Only won 15 touches. It felt like he had a lot more impact than that. So that tells you how good he is when he does have the ball around him. And I know you're a fan of Noah Scott. Nathan, 25 possessions, I think he impacted again.
Yeah, well, he's been really good in his last couple of weeks of Tartan League footy, been really good, especially against Easton. His energy and speed out of the stoppage is very evident, especially out of the centre stoppage. He'll break wide and he's always he's one you give it off to and he'll deliver it inside 50. And he uses it very well. He's done that 2 weeks in a row. He's a good size, I feel like, for a midfielder. He's just moves it well. He moves it well, moves it quickly. So I've loved watching him. We'll talk about the Sandy side of it. Yeah. Murphy Reid, I mean, he's, wow, he's kind of a very good player. He's probably an understatement at this point. Three goals, really like odd goals this week, but they were all good in their own way.
Yeah, well, three goals and won plenty of the footy as well. And he was really effective when he had it. Archer May in the wet also really impressed me. I think he hit the scoreboard a couple of times. One of them was a really crucial goal in the fourth quarter where he got it. It was a wet ball and he snapped it from 30 and finished. It was quite impressive, but quite clean for a tall guy in the wet. There was a time where it came in and he sort of got it on the half volley, trapped it on the floor, handballed off to a teammate who probably should have finished but didn't. But yeah, no, he's really showing what he can do. He's a Richmond VFL listed player as well. So yeah, we had him and Luke Lloyd obviously kicked three goals, I think, in the last quarter, and continues to show his strong hands. It was obviously those are a couple of tall forwards who shone the day, but the best moment probably wasn't the finish. It was probably the start of the game when a fellow tall forward, Cal Shadir, kicked the first goal of the game, because we know it was the Dare to Hope match for Kalsher and his family. Obviously, Paul Deer sadly passing away last year due to pancreatic cancer. So that match was to raise awareness for the fund, which goes towards research to pancreatic cancer. We saw that AFL had a match with funds going to a similar cause, Hawthorn versus Carlton, on the Sunday. But yeah, Kalsher certainly played his role and I think worked hard. It was a spirited performance throughout. And yeah, when he kicked that first goal, a set shot from about 25 and seeing all his teammates get around him, it was fitting.
Yeah, it was really fitting. And we did talk to Kalsher after the game. That video is on our socials. Make sure to check that out. It's, it was a fantastic chat, and to hear what he had to say about the cause was amazing. They all the players, Sandy boys and girls, wore purple socks, which is a really nice touch as well. And I was at that Hawthorn Carlton game. It was really nice. On level three, they had a bay of purple-like silhouettes, which was really nice. So a whole three bays were filled, which really nice touch. And even pre-game, just the way they went about it was awesome and really nice touch. So a great cause, and it was done really well, I thought. And yeah, Kalsher, it was lovely to see that first quarter moment.
Yep. We'll move on to the Murray versus Bendigo game now. Murray 18-58, Bendigo 12-13-85. Toby Trevallier had 26 disposals in this game, so one who was probably a little bit unlucky to miss out on Vic Country selection. We've obviously seen the rise of Archer Day Wicks, like you touched on. But yeah, Toby Trevallier will certainly be really highly regarded come next year and will be around that AFL Academy squad, I would have thought. So good to see him perform. Gippy and Dandenong. Gippy got it done 9-16-70 to 8-8-56. Dandenong mounting a comeback in the last quarter. Cooper Hines kicking three goals in that last quarter and finishing with 22 and 5 goals. Another really strong bottom ager. And yeah, it's put in some really strong performances for Dandenong and probably went to another level in that mid-forward rotation on Saturday with some players missing. Sam Frangalis, who was probably seen by some people to be a little bit unlucky in missing that Vic Country squad, had 35 disposals and brought that real good inside grunt, from what I'm told, to that midfield group for the Stingrays. So, yeah, a good performance for him, and his polish was a little bit better for Gippy. Tom Hannelly, 35 and 1.5. It was a little bit of what could have been. It could have been an even better performance, but still finishing with 35 disposals and a goal is outstanding. He's a Xavier College prospect. He's played about three games for Xavier College as a midfielder forward type of player. He's had an injury-interrupted start to the season, which has prevented him from probably showing what he's able to do on a consistent basis and probably denied him the opportunity to get selected for Country, but good to see him put forward that performance on school holidays for Gippy. Oakley defeating Western 15-11-101 to 10-10-70. Jovan Petrick going forward and kicking a couple of goals. Eastern defeating Geelong 9-17-71 to Geelong 7-15-57. And then we move to the girls. Oakley defeated Western in the girls' game, the second of a doubleheader there, 7-9-51 to 1-1-7. As we probably expect, they've got a little bit more depth, and it was good to see from an Oakley and Western perspective that Amy Karras-Brett, who just missed out in Metro's first team, went back and performed. She was one of the best on the wing, ran really hard, won 17 possessions. And Sierra Greaves won 16 touches and 5 tackles. Was again pretty strong for Western, probably a little bit unlucky not to win a spot in the forward line or the midfield for Vic Metro.